Anonymous is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio. I am your host, Abraham Hamilton III, joined by the Corner Contingent right across from me, my man, 100 grand, Mr. Bobby Rosa is in studio and in the screening room. We have producer extraordinaire, often imitated, never duplicated. Y'all know what it is. The real J-Mac, ladies and gentlemen, the real J-Mac. It's funny, Jeff, since we started, I'm seeing J-Macs all over the place. You know, everybody want to have a J-Mac now. I would just like the record to reflect we were first. I'm seeing them all over the place. I'm seeing them on sports shows. I'm seeing them over here. It's like, hence the description, the real, often imitated. Well, welcome to the program, everybody. We are ready to rock and roll with today's edition of the show. It's so funny seeing people quibble. Oh, man, President Trump said he's going to deploy military assets to deport illegal aliens. Like, and it's almost like, hey, Bobby, we're about to start the show. Oh, my gosh, Abe, you're actually starting the show. Yeah, that's kind of what we've been talking about. It's pretty, pretty interesting. Yeah. What an idea. If you don't have borders, you do not have a country. We got to have a country again. We got to have a... At this very moment, many of you, if not most of you, are making your transition from your part-time jobs where you generate an income to your full-time jobs where you cultivate an outcome. Outcome cultivation is the order of the day. We must take full advantage of the time that God has given us. There are any number of indications that our country was headed careening towards a cliff. And we have been given a reprieve by the mercies of God. Now, what will we do with it is my question. Outcome cultivation must be the order of the day. The first institution God established before there was an order of priests, before an order of prophets, before the modern iterations of civil government, the first human institution that God established was the family. Doesn't mean that it's the exclusive institution, but it means it is central to God's plan. And no matter what stage of life we're in, no matter what things we're facing, it is inescapable. And frankly, it is foolish to ignore the centrality of the family to God's plan. We will never be able to out-politic. I don't care who is in office. We'll never be able to out-politic. We'll never be able to out-church, frankly. Deficiencies that are in the home. When I say out church, I mean the corporate gathered assembly outside of individual familial units. It's God's desire for the family as the foundational unit of the body of Christ to set the course so that what we export to the corporate local assemblies and even broader to society, we don't have to spend so much time in a remedial disposition. Remember the Hebrew writer said, at the time you should be able to teach others, you have need to be taught again the basic principles of the faith. The central component of God's plan for multi-generational faithfulness and establishment of Christ followers in multiple generations is the family. It's not the exclusive, but it's primary. And much of what has befallen our country has taken place because of what has not transpired in the home, generally speaking. There, of course, are exceptions, but I'm talking broadly and generally at this juncture. So let today be a day, or let it be the day. If you haven't started, let today be the day where you take the initiative, where we take the initiative of exalting the King of Glory, proclaiming his gospel, making disciples, starting in our own homes, and working outward from there. All right, to the Word of God we go. I want to start, actually, it's one primary scriptural source, but it's actually two. The primary source will be from 2 Kings chapter 23, verses 15 through 17. But we're going to cross-reference to 1 Kings chapter 13. And the very simple encouragement from this text is that you can trust God. You can trust God. The scriptures bear out in another cross-reference. I'm not going to turn there during this segment, but I want to encourage you, especially if you refer to this segment in the future. 2 Chronicles chapter 34 is a cross-reference for this text. I'm going to focus on one of the most inspiring people in the scripture, King Josiah. The scripture bears out that though he had a wicked father and grandfather, he was a righteous king of the southern kingdom of Judah. All right, he became king of Judah at 8 years old. You cross-reference to the scripture I referenced in Chronicles. I don't know if I mentioned it out loud. I thought it. 2 Chronicles 34. 2 Chronicles chapter 34, the Bible tells us that in the 8th year of his reign, King Josiah began to seek the Lord. So at about 16 years old, he began to seek the Lord. This led to a flurry of reformation efforts, including a capital campaign to refurbish the temple, which, if you're familiar with Israel's geography and topography, you'll know that the temple complex was connected to the palace. And so while this building campaign is taking place under the oversight of the high priest Hilkiah, things had degraded in Judah to such a degree to where, though the Lord instructed kings of Israel and Judah ultimately to hand copy their own copies of the book of the law, the Mosaic law, the law of Moses, the books of Moses, in the presence of the Levitical priests, by the time Josiah became king, he was completely ignorant that there was a such thing called the book of the law, so much so that it had to be discovered in the temple as they were cleaning it out. 2 Kings 23 lists a host of the degradations that were prevalent in Judah at the time. I mean, it's sickening, frankly, to see how wicked things became in Judah. At the time of King Josiah's reign, there is no longer a northern kingdom of Israel. They've already been exiled and conquered by the Assyrian Empire. So the northern kingdom is under Assyrian sovereignty at this juncture. The northern kingdom's geography. But there's a portion of scripture, because after discovering the book of the law, Josiah leads to spiritual reformations in the southern kingdom of Judah. And as that is unfolding, we come to this portion of scripture, right at verse 15, as he is destroying pagan idols and pagan worship shrines and even removing vessels to Baal and Molech from the temple. In the course of doing all of that, we come to verse 15. It says, "Furthermore, the altar that was at Bethel and the high place which Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, had made, even the altar and the high place he broke down. Then he demolished its stones, ground them to dust, and burned the Asherah." Now, I just want to mention, for Josiah to do this, he's now traveling beyond the geographical boundaries of Judah to decimate idol worship that was instituted by previous kings of Israel and Judah. He's taking this show on the road, so to speak, going all the way to Bethel, that, as I mentioned, was in Assyrian power at the time. Verse 16, continuing. "Now when Josiah turned, he saw the graves that were there on the mountain in Bethel. And he sent and took the bones from the graves and burned them on the altar and defiled it according to the word of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed, who proclaimed these things." Verse 17, "Then he said, 'What is that monument that I see?' And the men of the city told him, 'It is the grave of the man of God who came from Judah and proclaimed these things which you have done against the altar at Bethel," the altar of Bethel. Josiah is doing things that, unbeknownst to him, the prophet of God had declared, and I'll just give you the timeline, 320 years prior to these events, over three centuries prior, the Lord had dispatched a prophet to declare there was a king coming, and it specifically named Josiah, and he would destroy the altars of Jeroboam. Josiah didn't know that. Remember what I told you? He was shocked to learn that there was a book of the law. He didn't know that this had been prophesied about him, but here he is living in and executing what had been prophesied about him. Now, I'm going to toggle over to 1 Kings chapter 13. I didn't give you this warning, Jeff, so you know. 1 Kings chapter 13, starting at verse 1. This is 300 years prior to the events, over 300 years prior to the events that we just read about in 2 Kings 23. 1 Kings 13, it says, "Now behold, there came a man of God from Judah to Bethel." Again, making that travel, making that journey. "By the word of the Lord, while Jeroboam was standing by the altar to burn incense." Jeroboam, first king of the northern kingdom of Israel as an individual nation. Verse 2, "He cried out against the altar by the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus says the Lord, behold, a son shall be born to the house of David," a descendant of David, "Josiah by name. And on you he shall sacrifice the priests of the high places who burn incense on you, and human bones shall be burned on this altar. Then he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is a sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be split apart, and the ashes which are on it shall be poured out. Now when the king heard the saying of the man of God, which he cried against the altar in Bethel, Jeroboam stretched out his hand from the altar, saying, seize him. But his hand, when he stretched out against him, dried up, so that he could not draw it back to himself. The altar was also split apart, and the ashes were poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. Then the king said to the man of God, please entreat the Lord your God and pray for me, that my hand may be restored to me. So the man of God entreated the Lord, and the king's hand was restored to him, and it became as it was before." Why am I sharing this with you? We often, I know I often, talk about the messianic prophecies that were specifically about Jesus as Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach from the Old Testament. But I want to present this to you to let you know that it was not only messianic prophecies that was fulfilled in Scripture. Here you have an example where the Lord prophesied over three centuries before it ever came to place through his servant that a king was coming and Josiah would be his name. And this altar that you, O wicked king Jeroboam, have created, there will be a righteous king who will decimate this altar. 2 Kings 23, we see that being fulfilled. And what I want you to see is the cross section of God's sovereignty and man operating within his own volition in fulfillment of God's will. Josiah had no clue that there had been a prophecy about him to do what he was doing. Nevertheless, he was doing it. And while he's doing it, his eyes catch, what's that monument over there? And then his people say, oh, hey, you know, it's funny you bring that up. Because, you know, we're reading this. We should have been reading it, but now we're reading. And we, man, there was a prophecy said about you. That you would do this very thing. God's sovereignty persisted even through all of the years of wickedness in Judah. All of the years of wickedness in Israel, the Lord's sovereignty wasn't overthrown. The prevalence of wickedness is due simply to man's sinfallenness. But never mistake that for God being disabused of his potency. And I'm pointing this out to you as a simple reminder that you and I can trust God. God is trustworthy. Even though Josiah had no clue about what had been prophesied about him, he nevertheless is living in fulfillment of it. The encouragement for us through Scripture is, man, you can trust God. You can trust his word that he's given us in his text. You can trust God's will for our country. The question is whether or not you will submit yourself, whether or not I will submit myself to God's authority. Will we humble ourselves and surrender to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who knows the end of a thing from the very beginning? Because it is only in full surrender to the Lord. He knows the difference between those who are casually curious about him and those who have been captured by him. Intimacy with the King is reserved for his remnant, who will take him at his word and will surrender to him comprehensively. And as we do so, you will find that your life will be found in surrendering to the Lordship of the Christ.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
My encouragement and challenge to every single listener is that you pray and ask the Lord the question, Lord, what do you want me to do? You know, that's the prayer that Paul prayed right after he received Christ and put his faith in the Lord on the road to Damascus. He asked the question, Lord, what do you want me to do? And as it relates to following and serving the Lord, that's a wise question to pray actually every single day. It's a good prayer and a question to ask the Lord every day. Lord, what do you want me to do? And as it relates to being involved in this important cause of standing for life and standing against the tragedy of abortion, the question and prayer is a wise one to pray, Lord, what do you want me to do? There are many that God would have them to become faithful intercessors who pray every day. Lots of spiritual warfare happens around every pregnancy clinic, and lots of spiritual warfare happens around abortion clinics as well.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. It's all fun and games until the long-range missiles start flowing. I've long said, and maybe I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one, but I haven't heard very many people pounding this drum. I've long said if Mr. Joseph Robinette Biden is not qualified to run for the presidency, is anybody gonna say, raise the issue, ask the question, how, when, why should he be viewed as competent to be the current Oval Office occupant? I mean, maybe I'm a strange one here. Maybe it's because I have children. Maybe it's because I'm teaching a civics class. But I think it's a problem if we don't have a currently functional commander-in-chief. I'm minding my business, preparing myself for a new day and a new week. And what do I find? Reports that the current White House administration is green-lighting the usage of U.S. long-range missiles to attack Central Russia. You heard me right. You heard me right. It's all fun when we talk about Trump with his Trump hat on and Joe Biden wearing red to go and vote and all this other kind of stuff. And now you have this. To which I will simply say, if the authorization is being provided by the White House, is there anybody in this audience who think Mr. Joseph Robinette Biden is poring over the strategic maneuvers as what's happening in the Ukraine-Russia war front and making a determination as to what needs to transpire in order to bring peace and tranquility to the world and made the calculated yet difficult decision to okay U.S. weaponry being used to strike into central portions of Russia? Does anybody believe that? I'm supposed to believe. Listen to and watch this brief report. It's clip number one. Clip number one. Go.
Good evening. This is a notable shift in policy. Two U.S. officials tell NBC News the Biden administration is giving Ukraine the green light to use American-made long-range weapons for limited strikes inside Russia. Until now, President Biden had restricted the use of American-made weapons to the Ukrainian battlefield to prevent a wider war. But the president is also alarmed by North Korea sending thousands of its own soldiers to help Russia. And given the sensitivity of this change and military operations, the White House and the Pentagon are not commenting publicly on this.
The White House and the Pentagon are not commenting publicly on this. And you hear it, and I know this is common vernacular, the Biden administration. Who specifically is authorizing this? I've reported, many others have reported, Mr. Trump has met with Zelensky. Putin has stated he wants to sit down with Mr. Trump. Why in the last waning hours, all of a sudden, we have not had this posture through this entire conflict, but now all of a sudden, U.S. long-range missiles are going to be deployed. That's what I'm being told. That's what we're being told. Who is calling the shots? Who is making this decision? Who is giving that communication? We need to know. Now, I understand and I agree, and I've read the reports that North Korea is deploying soldiers on the ground now. North Korean soldiers have been spotted on the ground. That is being communicated that it is the basis for this change in American posture. Why should that change America's posture? Especially when everybody knows we're about to have a new president in office. People ask me, "Abe, do you think they were trying to do something to sabotage things for Mr. Trump?" And I said, I hope not. But I don't think you can, at this stage, you can put anything past anybody. I have stated it is in my view that Mr. Joseph Robinette Biden is effectively out to lunch. This man isn't calling the shots. He isn't making the decisions. So we have unelected shadow government sycophants potentially involving U.S. assets, not people, but military equipment in this instance, and what very well could be the genesis of World War III. And so we just collectively shrug. You got Russia on over there, and then you have North Korean troops on the ground. Guys, like I said, it's all fun and games until the long-range missiles start. Firing. And we still got a cat that's 5 miles from the White House in his Colorado mansion. Nobody asked, "Hey, what's going on down there? What black SUVs are showing up?" Nobody asked any of those questions. I don't want to have our nation drawn into World War III, and we don't even know who's making the decisions to do it. That is, guys, that is greatly concerning. And we've had the exact same posture, and I know things in war change very frequently. I know that, and they can change quickly. But we don't have the wisdom in our Pentagon currently. You know, all these people up in arms about Pete Hegseth's nomination, imminent nomination as Secretary of Defense. We have all of these multi-star generals, and nobody stopped to think, hey, how about we just cool out? We literally have less than 3 months before there literally will be a new sheriff in town. And I know I'm saying literally a lot, but who's literally communicated to leaders on both sides. Both leaders have indicated their willingness to take advantage of the new, old, returning presidents. I can't help but suspect that this is an intentional effort to create a quagmire to set the stage for bogging down Mr. Trump's second term in office. And let me be more specific and clear about it. Bogging down Mr. Trump's second term in office to frustrate the America First agenda that the American people voted for. I can't help but think it. It's no different. Obviously, it's not the exact same phenomenon, but you have, you know, Mr. Trump's administration going overwhelmingly well in spite of the Russian delusion and all of the wiretap, the FISA abuse, all of that stuff. His administration is humming along. And then all of a sudden, Schmovid got the scarf lady lying to the American people that the wee little leprechaun running around in a moment's notice, everything about faces. You set the stage for the most popular presidential candidate in American history with 81.3 million votes. Never happened for a Democrat candidate for the presidency, nor a Republican in the history of the world. More popular than Barack Obama, more popular than Ronald Reagan in both of his victories, more popular. Guys, this is bad, man. This is bad. And this is another example of why I say we have to pray. I pray that this is deterred. This is not a prudent course of action. When the world knows we will have a new commander-in-chief, not just our nation, the world knows we will have a new commander-in-chief in months. Barack Obama is in the White House. Russia takes Crimea. Mr. Trump is in the White House. You could hear a church mouse, quieter than the church mouse. Mr. Ice Cream Man comes in, we have full-scale war. Is anybody noticing that pattern? Sickening to me. Sickening. And this is why it's so important. This is why I was stressing it. Hey, guys, we can't afford to focus only on the election. We kind of have a nation now. We have things that require presidential attention. But right now we have an Oval Office by shadow committee. Not even a committee, by shadow figures. And we don't know who is calling the shots. It's not Mr. Ice Cream Man. Then you have this. And I'm going to share this with you because this is just, it's just amazing. So Zbigniew Brzezinski's daughter and Joe Scarborough. Yeah, Zbigniew Brzezinski. Look him up. Zbigniew, Z-B-I-G-N-I-E-W. That's Mika Brzezinski's dad's name. Zbigniew Brzezinski's daughter and Joe Scarborough have been for years. President Trump is a dictator. He's a fascist. He's a totalitarian. He's Hitler. He's Satan. He's Beelzebub's best stepson. These are some of the same people who told you, oh, Joe Biden is as fit as he's ever been. Kamala Harris is going to win this election. Then all of a sudden, Not least to mention, Comcast announces, we're reviewing all of our holdings. And we realize MSNBC is losing money, so we're willing to put that puppy up for sale. Then all of a sudden, Zbigniew's daughter and her now husband, you know, they weren't married when they started the show together. Now you get this from them. Listen to and watch this. Clip number three. Go.
On Friday, we were given the opportunity to do just that. Joe and I went to Mar-a-Lago to meet personally with President-elect Trump. It was the first time we have seen him in 7 years.
Now, we talked about a lot of issues, including abortion, mass deportation, threats of political retribution against political opponents and media outlets. We talked about that a good bit. And it's going to come as no surprise to anybody who watches this show, has watched it over the past year or over the past decade, that we didn't see eye to eye on a lot of issues, and we told him so.
What we did agree on was to restart communications. My father often spoke with world leaders with whom he and the United States profoundly disagreed. That's a task shared by reporters and commentators alike. We had not spoken to President Trump since March of 2020, other than a personal call Joe made to Trump on the morning after the attempt on his life in Butler, Pennsylvania. In this meeting, President Trump was tearful, he was upbeat, he seemed interested in finding common ground with Democrats on some of the most divisive issues. And for those asking why we would go speak to the president-elect during such fraught times, especially between us, I guess I would ask back, why wouldn't we?
Now you're asking back, why wouldn't we? Man, it took self-control for me to get through that whole clip. These people. I wouldn't say they caused it because they did not pull the trigger, but these people provided the rhetorical fodder that legitimized in the eyes of some American citizens, unfortunately, the attempts on President Trump's life. And I'm playing this for a host of reasons. One of the first reasons is if you really believe what you said over these last several years, why would you go to Mar-a-Lago? Why are you going now? If I had an invitation to go sit with Hitler, I ain't going. I don't want to talk to Hitler. I want Hitler gone. I don't want to joke. I don't want to see where we can find common ground. I want a Bonhoeffer Hitler. But you know why I'm pointing this out to you? Because these people are such liars. They have no qualms whatsoever about lying to the American people, ginning up American people's animosity towards Mr. Trump, causing people to spaz out, all these things. And then when you know when rubber hits road, and you know what rubber hits road looks like, right? When you work in a for-profit business. See, people like to forget media is ultimately a business. The business thrives when you don't have any sides. My program is a commentary show. I provide information, but I provide commentary. You don't never have to guess where I'm coming from. You know where I'm coming from. But these people try to wax as if they're neutral, and they're lying. They're lying. And now all of a sudden, they try to say it like it's a badge of honor. We haven't spoken to him for 7 years. Why not? He's been president. He was the primary candidate for the Republican Party for the office of the presidency. You don't think it would have been worth your time as a journalist to talk to him before now? But you know why they're talking to him now? Because the bosses have knocked on that door. Hey, yo, Big News daughter. Hey, yo, Joe, we can't keep cooking like this, cat. We can't keep cooking like this. So you take your hat and put it in your hand and you go and bow down and genuflect, because if you want to stay on these airwaves, we need to make sure we don't continue hemorrhaging viewer share. That's what that was about. Joe Scarborough is a former congressman. This dude knows how this stuff works, but he's a paid shill. And he has no problem lying to the American people as long as it fits his personal agenda. And now you're witnessing another about face, because you know how Joe got on MS Lying NBC? He was supposed to be a Republican counter-op narrative to the prevailing Democrat narrative on MSNBC. But you know what happened? He realized, ruh-roh, I can't stay around these parts if I actually say anything remotely Republican. I ain't even saying conservative. So he switched, and guess what he's doing right now? These people are liars, man. And they sicken me. And they do this stuff all open. You saw it. That was a script they were reading from on a teleprompter. And Big News daughter talking about, for those of you who are concerned about why we would talk to President Trump, why wouldn't we? Well, you couldn't say that 2 months ago, Mika. You couldn't say that 2 years ago. You want to talk about, he had a private call to President Trump when he was shot. You disgust me. You disgust me. And you get the whole country, half of the country, believing this man is Hitler. And then you go have bacon and eggs with him in Mar-a-Lago like everything is sweet.
As the world changes in an era of crisis, families throughout America are experiencing instability, fear, and great loss. While many are searching for answers in places of desperation, the position and mission of the church has never been more clear. It's time for us to leave the buildings and saturate the streets with redemptive hope and the love of Jesus. Saturate USA is a movement of churches and believers across America, uniting as one to reach every home with the love of the gospel. At saturateusa.org, you and your church can join the movement by adopting a zip code and receiving free neighborhood maps and evangelistic materials, including Jesus Film DVDs with free online streaming. Simply mobilize your volunteers, assemble your saturation packs with free materials and your own church's information, and then send out teams to distribute to homes. Let's partner together and see every zip code in America adopted for Christ. Join the movement at saturateusa.org.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE. And talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential and we will help you find healing. 866-482-LIFE.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner, Abraham Hamilton III. You know, and I have no concern that anybody in this office, this audience will fall for this ploy. But I want you to be aware and to share with your loved ones and your friends and family members not to fall for it, because this is nothing more than an effort to salvage their failing network enterprise. You know, you have, I'll just tell y'all this, you have conservatives, you know, brainstorming, gathering, getting together to see what investors may be willing to purchase MSNBC. Because Comcast is like, man, we can't keep doing this. And now all of a sudden, they want to go to Mar-a-Lago to try to appear as if they want to reset communications for journalistic purposes. That's not what y'all are doing. You jokers, y'all spent the last several years, and y'all thought because you drink your own Kool-Aid and you live in your own echo chambers, y'all thought for some reason that the woman who couldn't get 1% of the Democrat Party primary votes to become president, that the Democrats recognized was a horrible candidate. And now y'all are all shocked. I can't believe America agreed with Democrat primary voters. I'm going to move on from that because it's disgusting. Then you have this little, and I've announced, I'm on the record, and I'll say it again. I'm not a big fan of the Matt Gaetz selection for Attorney General. I understand the necessity of shaking up D.C. and specifically the Department of Justice, which includes the FBI, and having new leadership there is vitally necessary. Because it has been. This isn't a new phenomenon. The FBI has a history of corruption. You know, what we've talked about, you know, the COINTELPRO investigation and all these other things in the past, the FBI's spying on American citizens domestically, leading up to the FISA abuse scandal. And I think describing it as a FISA abuse scandal is a little too cute, a little too pretty. You know, it's a little too pretty-fied for that. Let's call it what it is. You had FBI officials to lie on documents. That is called perjury, okay? In order to facilitate a domestic spying operation on American citizens. Well, that's a good one. Angie says, wouldn't it be great if AFA could purchase MSNBC? you gonna put your boy on primetime at 9. Well, that's funny. Yeah, but the FISA abuse scandal, that is a little too... That's a euphemism. You have federal agents who've lied formally. You know, you have Peter Stroke and his paramour's name. They're literally texting on FBI documents to each other. Hey, don't worry about the election. We have, what was it called? We have a backup plan. What was that plan they called it? To make sure they can stymie Trump? Don't worry about the election. We got a plan to get him out of here. That's people in the FBI. Well, according to, oh, look at this. Lisa Page, that's her name. That's her name. According to this, NBC News again. Department of Justice and FBI officials were found weeping after President Trump's electoral victory. And many senior FBI and Department of Justice officials have been found around Washington, D.C., hiring lawyers in anticipation of being investigated under the auspices of the incoming 47th president of the United States and the newly appointed and confirmed attorney general upon confirmation. Listen to and watch clip number 4. Clip 4. Go.
Multiple current and former Justice Department and FBI officials have reportedly started reaching out to lawyers in anticipation of being criminally investigated by the incoming Trump administration. Three people with knowledge of the deliberations tell NBC News that many DOJ staffers were already nervous about the possibility they would be targeted by Trump loyalists and the selection of former Congressman Matt Gaetz to lead the Department of Justice has only increased their sense of alarm.
Let's just let that marinate for a little bit. Let that sizzle in your spirit for a moment there. So you're telling me FBI officials and DOJ officials, senior officials, they're around Washington, D.C., finding out which lawyers will represent them ¿Por qué? Mr. Roboito, ¿por qué? Why, oh why, Mr. Roboito? Why are they looking for lawyers, huh? I mean, I'm not looking for any representation. Hey, Jeff, how about you? You trying to find lawyers? What about this election? What caused these folks? And what did they do again? Somebody, oh, yeah, that's right. They work in law enforcement. Huh. Tucker Carlson face. Bobby, why would they do that? Why would they be looking for lawyers? why are they looking for lawyers? Why? I mean, he hasn't even been inaugurated yet. But that is interesting, don't you think? That's right. Sí, ¿por qué? ¿Por qué un abogado? ¿Culpable o no culpable? Guys, this is hilarious to me. What are you looking for lawyers for? Why are you looking for lawyers? Boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. And I think among other things, and again, I'm going to wait and see what happens, but this is the reason why Mr. Trump announced Matt Gaetz as his attorney general pick. I think among other things, he's communicating the message, oh, by the way, we ain't playing with y'all this time around. We're not playing with y'all this time around. And again, if nobody broke the law, there's no problem. But well, why are you looking for lawyers already? These people are around D.C. Senior officials having meetings. You know, I couldn't believe this. I was reading the news, and I can't believe it. NBC is reporting this. That senior officials wept. They wept. And maybe I have limited exposure. Perhaps. But I spent a lot of time around detectives and law enforcement officers, and I can't remember any that I thought would be crying because of who might have gotten elected. But I thought that was interesting. It's very, very interesting to me that they're looking for lawyers in D.C. I want to share this story next, and this is just an indication as to just how close, I want to just display just how close we were to what I'm about to report on. And this is a very recent case that's happening right now across the pond in England. But you have a journalist who writes for The Telegraph. I mean, she's not like famous or anything, but The Telegraph is to England along the lines of what maybe The Wall Street Journal might be to America. You know, not necessarily a stalwart, you know, beacon of conservatism, but at a minimum, they'll entertain, you know, different ideas at a minimum, you know, at a very, 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 very minimal level. This report I'm talking about is a woman by the name of Allison Pearson. Allison Pearson, a year ago, had the audacity to post on the artist formerly known as Twitter her concern that in England that the police officers handle Islamists with kid gloves. Yet, the English citizenry that are not Islamists, they get the full brunt of law enforcement. But if they're Islamists, they handle them with kid gloves. You know, you have people marching in the streets with Palestinian flags following October 7th and all of these things. But a year ago, Allison Pearson had the audacity to point that out on social media. And did I mention she also later deleted the tweet? Well, a year later, she got a open up. It's police knocked on her door. Listen to and watch this report. Clip number two. Go.
This is the Telegraph columnist's X account, now devoid of a controversial tweet from a year ago, which has led to police now investigating whether she's committed the criminal offence of inciting racial hatred. Alison Pearson has called the police visit frightening nonsense.
We know that policing is under-resourced and that they are unable to attend often quite serious crimes. This was the most extraordinary overreach and state intrusion into my private life, and I don't think I did anything wrong, and I think their response was outrageous.
Alison Pearson said she wasn't told which post the police were investigating, but has suggested it could be related to protests which followed Hamas's attacks on Israel last October.
Now, guys, this is absolutely insane. When they knocked on her door and she was not dressed, I'll say it that way, and she recorded the exchange in an article she wrote for the Telegraph, but when they knocked on the door and demanded that she open it, they accused her, and this is what they called it, of a non-crime hate incident. They have an acronym for it, an NCHI. It almost sounds like the HNIC. The NCHI, a non-crime hate incident. She asks, oh, wait, did I post something that offended somebody? Her response, we cannot tell you that, ma'am. She's like, what? So you are at my house investigating me and potentially arresting me for a post, and you won't tell me what I posted and who was offended by it? No, ma'am, we won't tell you. The whole deal happens. Now, she is literally under police investigation right now as we're talking about this. The reason why I'm pointing this out, guys, and this is the contrast with Big News daughter and Joe Scarborough, who all for the last several years, fascist, 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 dictator, dictator, dictator. Oh, there will be no more elections after Trump. All this other kind of stuff. And then they go and have brunch with him. They go have brunch. And I posted on social media. You saw Mr. Ice Cream Man in the Oval Office with Mr. Trump. He's smiling from ear to ear, grinning like a Cheshire cat. And the reason why I'm pointing this out, because you have these statements made over and over and over again, and our society has no clue what the term fascist even means. They have no clue what totalitarianism looks like. This is what it looks like. You post something and you have a police officer knock on your door because of something you posted. That is what totalitarianism looks like. And it shows you how far down the regressive field England is. The same England that the United States of America came from initially as colonies. Guys, there are people, Tim Walz is one of the people who in this country who was pushing for similar things to be established. When I say things, I mean a posture to where the American citizenry became comfortable with the notion that people should not have the right to freely speak. And the impact of totalitarianism is not primarily to put a bunch of people in jail, but to intimidate the masses into voluntary compliance, which is what was happening. Many of you have written into me, you've told me, you have views and opinions, you dare not speak what you believe around the water cooler. You can't say what you really think. Regressives can shout what they think all day long, put their flags up. But if you speak, oh, that's a microaggression. What is a microaggression? We need to be aware, guys, of what these tactics are and what their ultimate objectives are. And this is why a lot of people were talking about just over the weekend, you know, at the UFC event, you know, John Jones, the fighter, won his fight and he kicked it. He busting out the Trump dance all over the NFL all weekend. Football players busting out Trump dances. Now people feel like they can speak again because they realize, oh, snap, at least about 76 million people, which, by the way, it's interesting that the popular vote for President Trump, his vote total is almost identical now to what it was in 2020. Ain't that something? Over 76 million again. And so now you have people, they realize, oh, a lot of people voted for the Trump ticket in the Republican. So they feel like they can speak again. We need to be aware of these things and never allow our society to get to the place where we can't speak freely anymore, to where we voluntarily self-censor, because that is what the totalitarians ultimately want. So you have Big News daughter and Joe for the last several years talking about fascism all day long, when really they are tools of the very totalitarianism they're saying they want to oppose. Because if you dare have an idea, let alone a willingness to vote contrary to their accepted narrative, then you must be cured from popular society because your views are not worthy to be discussed publicly. We have to understand the tactics and respond appropriately. And thanks be to God for his mercy. And thanks be to God for the rights he's provided for us and that are protected as we live and breathe currently.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.